Well, praise God. As you notice, today is Communion Sunday, and it's always a wonderful time to take communion. And I was thinking about communion and what it means. And, when someone passes on and moves on to heaven, some people have what they call a funeral. We don't call it a funeral. We call it a celebration of life service, where we celebrate someone's life. And I believe that communion service is a celebration of life. It's a celebration of the life of Jesus Christ. Not only is a celebration of his life, but a celebration of our life because of Jesus. And it's, excuse me, it's always a wonderful time to celebrate communion. But thinking about Jesus' life, let's go to John 3:16. And kind of read why he came. John chapter 3, verse number 16 says this: "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." It goes on 17 to say, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." So Jesus' purpose, when he came to this earth, he came here with a purpose. And his purpose was to save mankind. Not to condemn man, but to save man. And basically, he was trying to reconcile the wrong that Adam and Eve did there in the garden. And, put things back into God's kingdom. And so the reason Jesus came was to save the world. But the reason he came to save the world is because God so loved the world. And sometimes I've heard people, say stuff like, does God really love me? Of course God loves you. God loved you so much he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to save you, to change your world. I mean, think about it. If Jesus wouldn't have come to this earth, how much different our life would have been? It would have been completely different. But Jesus came to save the world. And when you're taking communion, you have to think about his purpose. He came to save the world. And it is interesting, communion, like celebrating his whole life. There's basically two holidays that we have. We have Christmas and we have Easter. And that's a celebration of Jesus' life, of Jesus being born to this earth, and then a celebration of his death, burial, and resurrection whenever he died. But I think communion is both those together. We celebrate him coming, but also we celebrate his death, burial, and resurrection that changed our life. It is interesting, I just have to share this because, obviously we're in what the world calls the Halloween season. And, you see that kind of stuff. The only good thing about Halloween, and I said, why do you call it Halloween? Because that's what everybody else calls it. I know Christians have their own names, and that's fine, but the only good thing about this season is my favorite cereals are now available at Walmart because for whatever reason, my favorite cereals, I like Frankenberry and I like Booberry. And those are both what they call monster cereals. And for whatever reason, they decided, when I was a kid, they were available all the time. But they decided that they were too scary and only available during Halloween season. And so they're available now. But it's interesting because we're talking about, Halloween and different things like that. So this morning after church, my little granddaughter said, Halloween is the devil's birthday, but Christmas is Jesus' birthday. Now, I don't know who told her that. I don't know where that came from, but that was pretty wild that she got that. So I don't know if she got that at her little Christian kindergarten she goes to, or I don't know if she just got that from whatever. But I thought that was pretty cool that the way she said that. So, but anyway, Jesus was born on the 25th. We celebrate his birth on the 25th of December. You realize that actually theologians don't even think he was born that day, but it doesn't matter what day he was born. That's when we celebrate his birth. Just like, you probably celebrate your birth on the actual date you were born, but you can celebrate your birth anytime. In fact, sometimes I kind of joke around because I know my half birthday. You know, my half birthday is January the 22nd. And the one reason, actually, as a kid, you probably learn your half birthday because at 15 and a half, you can get your permit. So, you know, on January the 22nd, I was there getting my permit. Actually, I think I had to wait till the 23rd because I think the 22nd was during the weekend or whatever. But so sometimes, you know, I'm just kind of joking around. I celebrate my half birthday. You know, I say it's my half birthday. Now, as you get older, you don't really celebrate your half birthday anymore because you want to go backwards instead of forwards. You know, you can celebrate your birthday anytime you want to. Now, my stepdaughter, her birthday is December the 23rd. Happens to be 2 days before Christmas. And because of that, she always feels she gets ripped off on presents. She don't get as many presents as she should because, you know, it's hard to differentiate between her birthday and Christmas presents sometimes. But sometimes I say, because the presents you want are so expensive, we have to buy them both together. And I've often challenged her, said, why don't we change your birthday? Why don't we move it to, like, you know, July or move it to June or something like that? She goes, well, how do you do that? I said, it doesn't matter what day you want to celebrate someone's birthday. We can celebrate someone's birthday anytime. And that's what we do with Jesus. We celebrate his birthday. Whether he is born that day or not doesn't really matter. What matters is a celebration of his life and what happened whenever he came to this earth. You know, and so you think about Christmas time. You know, sometimes we don't think about Christmas at Christmas. We only think about Jesus Christ being born to this earth at Christmas. Sometimes we only think about him dying at Easter. You know, Christmas, you know, they say, you know, good tidings of great joy. What does that mean? It says when Jesus was born, he came to bring joy to this earth. You know, we hear the other thing, peace on earth and goodwill to men. He came to provide peace on this earth. You know, that was some of the things that he came to provide, not just at Christmas time, but every day of our life. And because he came, that we can live and we can have good tidings of great joy. We can have peace on earth. We can have goodwill toward men. You know, that means be nice to one another. You know, and actually, if you examine his life, I mean, Jesus went around as he walked this earth. I mean, obviously preaching, teaching, you know, and healing people. We see all the miracles, see all those things that he did. We see a lot of parables that he gave. That was the way he preached in parables because that's people understood that. But what we see a lot of times is Jesus walking in love. You know, and he did that as an example for us because a Christian is a Christ follower, a follower after Christ. You know, and it's interesting because I never read anywhere in the Bible where it says that Jesus hated somebody. I never even, you know, and sometimes, well, you know, things aren't really written in the Bible, but so I've never even seen his actions where he acted like he hated anybody. Not one time. Even whenever he was facing his own death, he didn't hate anybody. He always loved. And I believe, you know, when you're celebrating someone's life, you have to celebrate his love. You know, and really what his love here on earth, he was showing God's love. Because, see, remember, God sent him to show us his love. And that love is for us to, you know, to be nice. It is interesting, you know, sometimes we can learn things from people that we might not believe in everything that they do. I don't know if you saw the news this week. And there was some news about the Cowboy game, not because Dallas lost to Green Bay. And FYI, they just lost again to the Jets. They missed their two-point conversion right at the time I'm coming up here. And so they lost by 2 points. But last week, during the Cowboy game, George Bush, George W. Bush, he goes to a lot of Cowboy games. And he was sitting there in the suite. And he had for his guest next to him, he had Ellen DeGeneres there. All right, Ellen and her, I guess, wife or whatever. So it's interesting because on Monday, people were mad at Ellen because she was sitting next to President Bush. You know, because they're like, how can you sit next to that man because he doesn't even believe like you believe? And it's interesting what Ellen actually said. You know, maybe I don't agree with everything that Ellen says and everything she does. But what Ellen actually says, and which I think all America needs to understand, was, you know what? I have friends that don't agree with everything that how I live my life, you know, and my politics, but they're still my friends. And I still hang out with them. You know, just because I don't agree with someone doesn't mean I can't hang out with them. You know, and she says, you know, I always preach, to be kind to one another. Now, that means one and whoever, no matter what they live or how they live, I'm there to be kind to them. You know, and that's what Jesus preached. To be kind to one another, whether they believe or whether they do things that we, accept. And so it's pretty interesting that she's the one who's trying to teach people a lesson when it should be other way around. Because Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. He came to love the world no matter who they are. You know, Jesus loves Ellen. Jesus loves you, and Jesus loves everybody. You know, it doesn't matter who you are or where you are or what you've done, Jesus still loves you. And God sent Jesus to this world to show forth his love to you. And one way that he can show forth his love to you is for other Christians to love you. And you know, and one of the best ways to celebrate Jesus' life is loving one another. Because whenever he was here on the earth, he gave us two rules. Rule number one was to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy understanding. Rule number two was to love your neighbor as yourself. And one way we can celebrate his life is to love people, love God, love people. You know, loving God is what I call the no-duh commandment, because if you don't love God, I don't even understand why you're probably a Christian, because it doesn't make sense. All right, but you know, it's interesting. He says the second command is just like it, is to love your neighbor as yourself. And, you know, I think that was a unique thing, because he was saying that as much as you love yourself, you have to love other people that much. Because that's what God does. That's what Jesus did. You know, and as we celebrate his life, I understand, like, when we celebrated the life of my grandfather, many people came and talked about his life and great things. You know, and my grandfather did a lot of great things and spoke a lot of great words and has a lot of great messages on CDs and books and DVDs and things like that. But the biggest thing that actually people talked about was not all his accomplishments, but they talked about how much he loved people. And I believe that when we talk about Jesus, we can't talk about Jesus without talking about his love. He loved, and he still does love, each and every one of us. You know, and sometimes, I get it. Things happen in the world, and sometimes I've heard people say, well, does God really love me? Yes, he loves you. He cares about you. Now, the only reason that you think he doesn't is because the next scripture I want to read, and I read it quite a bit, John chapter 10, verse number 10, John 10:10, where it says, the thief, or I like to say the El Diablo, the devil comes, does not come except for these reasons, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He'll try to, you understand, the devil is the father of lies. And when we saw that back in Genesis, whenever he lied to Adam and Eve to begin this whole thing to begin with. The devil is a liar, all right? I know sometimes that we might have friends that don't always tell the truth and we call him a liar, but anytime the devil talks, he lies. And what the devil will try to lie to you and say, you know what? God doesn't love you. You know, he basically tries to tell us that we're so special that God doesn't love us, but how can he not love us? He loves everybody. He loves the whole world. You know, we even sung about it when we were little kids. He has the whole world in his hands. Well, what I mean, you know, but the devil's version, he has the whole world except for you, you, and you, and you, and if you be bad, you. You know, and if you're on Santa's naughty list, you're not there either. So, but that's not how God is. God loves you no matter what. No matter if you've been naughty or nice or whatever it is. He still loves you. All right. But then it goes on to say, this is Jesus talking, I have come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. So whenever we're celebrating his life, he told us that he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Well, what does more abundantly mean? That means a good life. You know, and there has been many times in my own life that things have gone on, You know, and sometimes I'm having a pity party about it. That's just what we do sometimes. We've all been there. We've all done that. Things going on in life and we're having a pity party. We're crying about it. Whatever. But almost every time I get to that point, all of a sudden it hits me. Is this abundant life? And I'm like, no, it's not really abundant life. It's not abundant life whenever you have all these bills that you cannot afford. It's not abundant life whenever you have a sickness that seems to take over your life. It's not an abundant life, you know, and I started thinking about it. I said, you know what? Jesus didn't come to this earth for me to live like this or for me to have to go through this or for me to, you know, that's not why he came. He came that I might have life and have it more abundantly. Now, in order to have that abundant life, first of all, I have to know that he is and know that he's came to give me abundant life. Second of all, I have to not listen to the devil trying to tell me that he didn't come for me to have an abundant life, trying to tell me that this is going to happen and that's going to happen. Maybe you have to quit watching the news. You know, maybe you're not actually watching the news channel. You're just listening to, you know, a storyteller telling you what's not going to happen. But we have what's going to happen. I know my grandfather always would say, it is written. Amen. God says it, I believe it, and that settles it for me. Amen. You know, if God says it, then I can have it. And you know, it's interesting is the things that God says are the things that Jesus spoke whenever he was on the earth. And so really, when we're celebrating his life, we're celebrating what he says. And the great thing about it is that we have what he says right here in our Bibles. And we can live on those words that he says, you know, and if you want to know what they are, they're the ones that are read in your Bible, you know. But not only did he say some things that he's, you know, after he died and rose again, then he spoke through other men like the Apostle Paul and Peter and all these other folks. And as they began to pen some words inspired by the Holy Ghost. And, you know, we live our life by those words. But it's all because of Jesus. It's because he came. It's because he came and he influenced, you know, his 12, first of all, then many others since then. You know, and think about that. Think about what if Jesus wouldn't have came? How the earth would be way different. You know, and a lot of times we don't ever think about, it's really hard, especially growing up in the United States of America, to think about life without Jesus, especially growing up in, you know, if you grew up in church all your life. You know, but at one time, Jesus hadn't came. Now, what they had before he came, you read what we call the Old Testament, we have a lot of prophecies of him coming, but he hadn't came until that one day, you know, that we celebrate on December the 25th. That he came to bring peace to all mankind. That he came to change your life. And that's what we celebrate when we take communion. How he came to change your life. How he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. It's so awesome. You know, to think about what he did. He did through his birth, you know, life, death, burial, and resurrection. And that's all what we're celebrating today. We're celebrating his life. We're celebrating how his life has changed ours. You know, it is interesting when, like I said, when people pass, I know my grandfather, whenever he passed, and since he's passed, many people, you know, have told me over the years, they said, you don't know how much that your grandfather changed my life. You know, but if it wasn't for Jesus, my grandfather wouldn't have changed anybody's life. Because Jesus changed his life, that he was able to change life of others. You know, today, this morning, the name slipped me. I can't remember his name. But anyway, doesn't really matter what his name is. What really matters is what he did is that, you know, my dad talked about how a Sunday school teacher was the one who actually was the one who got Dwight Moody, D.L. Moody, saved. And it, you know, nobody knows the Sunday school teacher's name. I can't even remember. Even though I heard it this morning, I don't even remember the guy's name. But the point is that nobody really, you know sometimes what kind of influence that Jesus came, you know, through this gentleman that no one even knows his name, really. You know, in following the line of progression, because of different people under Dwight Moody's ministry and down the line, that Billy Graham was saved. So think about it. If it wasn't for the Sunday school teacher getting Dwight Moody saved, if Billy Graham would have never got saved, how many countless of millions of people wouldn't have got saved? You know, and so sometimes we think it's insignificant who we are, but you know what? You never know what kind of influence you could have on somebody. You know, so, you know, it doesn't matter what your name is, doesn't matter, you know, who you are, because you know, this Sunday school teacher lived and died and wasn't anyone really that important. You know, when it comes to the world's thing, but you know what? I mean, you know, because of what he did, many countless million peoples have been saved through what he did, you know, and he was a Sunday school teacher. I mean, you know, I'm not sure what his real job was, but I mean, that's just what he did for many years. He taught Sunday school, but you know, when Jesus was on this earth, in John chapter 15, as he was speaking, he said this in verse number 11. He says, "These things have I spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy may be full." So one of the reasons that Jesus came was to bring forth joy to you. And because he died and rose again, now we can have that joy on the inside. You know, we sing that song, "This joy I have, the world didn't give it to me." You know, but the thing about it is, you need to think about that whenever you have opportunities not to have joy. You know, many times in life, you're going to have an opportunity not to have joy, an opportunity to have sadness. But Jesus didn't come to this earth for you to have sadness. He came to bring you joy. You know, and there are some times that you might have a temporary setback. But praise God, that temporary setback's only temporary. Jesus came to this earth so you might have joy. He says here that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. You know, sometimes people say, "Well, you're full of it." Well, yes, you should be full of joy. If there's anything you should be full of, according to the word, you should be full of joy. Now, people that are full of joy are not sad. They're not depressed. You know, so, you know, right here by these words, we should all be happy. Amen. You know, sometimes I always kind of joke about one of the best songs ever written, "Don't Worry, Be Happy." You know, and I think sometimes that should be a Christian theme song. Don't worry, be happy, because Jesus is there for you, because he did come to this earth, because he did die upon the cross, because he took the stripes on his back. And because he rose again, that we don't have to worry. We can be happy because of Jesus. You know, we sing that song, "Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone." I mean, it was just so awesome. Because he lived. Because he still lives. You know, it is really hard because the thing of celebration of Jesus' life, because he still lives. You know, but ultimately, you know, our Christian brothers and sisters who have passed on, they still live too. You know, they're just in heaven with Jesus. You know, and I know for many, many years we've been singing, "Soon and very soon we're going to go meet the King," and, you know, we're all going to go to heaven. It's going to be great, and it will be great. I'm not ready to go right now, but it's good. You know, and I know a lot of people have said, "Well, Brother Craig, I'm just ready to go to heaven," you know, and I'm not, because, you know, I was always pretty good at math. And in fact, they can't do it today because somebody would get mad, but I had a teacher, and I remember taking Algebra 2, which I didn't have to take Algebra 2. It was an elective whenever I was in high school, because I'm like, "Well, why should I have a year without math? That's stupid." So I took Algebra 2, and in Algebra 2, they actually, my teacher, what she would do is every test, she would reset where we sit. All right, and there's one, you know, I think there was like 5 seats in every row, you know. And so if you have an A, you always sit on this side of the room. If you have, you know, a bad grade, you sit on the other side of the room. So everyone kind of knew how how smart people were by where they sat. I never moved out of the first row the whole year. I never moved out of the first row. You know, I didn't always sit the very first seat in the first row, but I think my average was 98. So, you know, I was pretty good at math, and that's why I actually went to college and studied accounting. Not because I like accounting, because it's really kind of boring, if you know the truth of the matter. It's not the most funnest thing, but I was good at it. Good at counting numbers, and, you know, and counting money is always good, as long as there is money to count. I mean, the bad part about it is counting money that you don't have, or counting things that you owe. That's not a good thing, you know, but I studied accounting mainly because I was good at math. But, you know, being good at math, I mean, you know, we look at the numbers of people alive in this world, and it's over 7 billion people. I'm not sure exactly where it's at, you know. And then you look at the numbers of people that, you know, it's hard to actually get a whole count because a lot of times that you know, they don't really take a sense of how many people are Christians or whatever in this earth. But pretty much counting the best numbers we have, about a billion people claim to be born again Christians. Well, if over 7 billion people are on the earth and only a billion of them claim to be Christians, that means we have 6 point whatever billion that are on their way to hell. So I'm not ready for the Lord to come back, you know, because I don't want 6 billion people to go to hell. You know, and I know some people thinking, see, that's going back to being selfish. Some people are thinking about themselves. Well, I want to walk on streets of gold and live in a mansion and all these kind of things or whatever. I don't want 6 billion people to go to hell, so it doesn't matter what I would like to ultimately have. You know, so, you know, the whole point is for us to go out and touch this world. You know, and we can only do so much, but we can do a lot. I mean, you know, it is interesting that the amount of influence that we as our ministry has had all over the world. You know, right now we're right at 85,000 Rhema graduates around the world. And that's pretty awesome, you know, and ultimately, you know, we know that millions of people have been saved through our ministry, but millions doesn't equal billions. You know, and, you know, praise God that we're doing all we can, and there's all kinds of ministries doing a great job, you know, and it's getting easier and easier with technology. You know, it is interesting. The other day, I was watching them, saw a little clip of my grandfather speaking in Chinese. You know, not that he's speaking, you know, translating Chinese, and we're fixing to roll out. We've been working on it for years, our Chinese online school, because we've had schools in China. China's really kind of, they're tightening things down, so we're going to hit them with an online school, because, you know, and so, you know, there are a lot of people that need to be saved, you know. But China's only, you know, I mean, it's a big country, but there's still billions of more in other countries as well. But, you know, Jesus said he came that we might have joy. Joy. Now, he didn't come for us to be depressed, for us to be down, for us to be mad. He came that we might have joy. All right? Going on, some other things that Jesus did in his life, actually, this is right before his death. We read in 1 Peter 2:24, we all know this scripture. It says, "He who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." You know, when we celebrate communion, we also celebrate healing. We celebrate his body that was broken and bruised and battered so that we might be healed. And I like to say over and over again, I've brought this out, many people don't think about it, is that Jesus died upon the cross to save you. But he just didn't die on the cross to save you. He did the extra. He took the stripes on his back, and by his stripes you were healed according to the word. You know, he didn't have to take the stripes on his back, but he did it for you. You know, and basically you realize that through his whole ministry, one of the things he did was to try to eradicate sickness. I mean, many people were healed through his ministry. But at his death, he eradicated sickness to everyone who believes. By his stripes, we were healed. Now, a few more things he did, you know, while hanging there on the cross is kind of interesting. going to Luke chapter 23. Luke 23, and as we know the scripture, you know, first of all, that Jesus was there, and obviously that Jesus was without sin, but and even though, you know, I mean, think about this. This makes no sense because, you know, everywhere that Jesus went, multitude of people followed him. We've read that over and over again in the scriptures. So it seemed a lot of people liked Jesus. He was well-liked, very popular. But for whatever reason, on this day, whenever he stood before, you know, Pilate, you know, and they had a custom to release one person. And basically Pilate was kind of pushing to, you know, to release Jesus because he really hadn't done anything. But instead of releasing Jesus, they release Barabbas, who was a known thief. And so basically they said, well, we'd rather kill Jesus, you know, and let the thief go. I mean, I don't know how many people just really want a bad guy to walk to earth or whatever, a known criminal, but, you know, and say, hey, we'll kill the Christian. You know, and especially, I mean, Jesus is popular. I mean, it wasn't Pilate's decision. It was the people's decision. In fact, Pilate actually says, I'm washing my hands of this. This blood's not on me. You know, but, you know, the reason this happened is because it had to happen. Because if it wouldn't have happened, we wouldn't be celebrating communion today. He had to die upon the cross. And as he hung there, he hung on the cross between two thieves. One thief actually mocked him. Let's just read it. We'll go back to verse 32. It says, there were also two others, criminals, led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand, other on the left. For then Jesus said these words, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. So, you know, here he is hanging on the cross, and Jesus still showing love to the world. He says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing, putting me to death. Now, actually, what they were doing changed all our lives. But, you know, I mean, you realize that Jesus walked this earth as a mere man. I mean, so as he's there, he's saying, you know what? I love you guys so much. I don't want the Lord to hold you accountable for doing this. I mean, that's love. You know, and of course, obviously, ultimate love is he was doing this for us. And so going down to verse 39, it says, then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, if you are Christ, save yourself and us. Notice he put the us in there. He didn't just say, save yourself. He said, save yourself and us. At least he added his other buddy, the other criminal. All right, but here's the other criminal. He asked him, but the other answering rebuked him, saying, do you not even fear God, seeing you're under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, we received the due reward for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. Then this criminal said, he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. So he was just saying, you know, Lord, you know, as you're there in heaven, just pray for me. You know, and Jesus basically said, I'm going to do you one better. Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise. Meaning, you know what? It didn't matter how he lived his life, his whole life. But in the end, whenever he came to Jesus, he still got the same reward. You know what? I know many people almost get mad about that. They're like, well, I live a good Christian life all my life. And this guy got saved on his deathbed. And he gets the same reward. He gets to go to heaven. You know, but I look at that as a win. Amen. You know, it doesn't matter what, you know, that he lived. But ultimately, that shows God's love. God loves us so much. It doesn't matter what we've done, how we've lived our life. In the end, he's there for us. And he loves us. And you know, the thing is that, once again, it shows the love of Jesus. And that's the love that we should show to the world. Amen. You know, people should know we're a Christian just by the way we act. They shouldn't have to try to figure out. And I mean, sometimes that business people, I'm going to say businessmen, but it's not just men, it's business people, the only way that they really know that this person might be a Christian is they actually put an ad in the Christian business pages because their business practices aren't good enough. You know, it's interesting, or there'll be some companies, and nothing wrong with it. If you want to have Christian symbols with your company, if you want to have a fish or a cross, nothing wrong with it, you know. But if you're going to do that, why don't you act like Jesus? Amen. You know, why don't you be like him? You know, like I said, I always would joke about the people with the WWJD bumper stickers. If you're going to put that in your car, then you better, you can't be mean to people and rude to people because, you know, Jesus wouldn't do that. He wouldn't sit and honk at people and, you know, wave at them, you know, wave their fists at them and yell at them and tell them how stupid they are and all those kind of things. I mean, Jesus loved you and he still loves us. You know, but I'm thinking about, you know, on his death, you know, on the cross, he still showed forth his love toward all mankind. You know, and that's what his life is all about. His life is all about, you know, we started this talking about John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave Jesus to basically to show us love. And the way he shows us love is by, you know, helping us to live life and more abundantly, by healing us, by setting us free, by bringing us peace, by bringing us joy. Yeah. You know, and that's, you know, peace isn't just for Christmas. Joy just isn't for Christmas. It's for all year. And every time that we take communion, we should be celebrating the peace that we have. We should be celebrating what we have through Christ Jesus. Amen.